Hey folks, welcome to a special episode. It is not of the projection booth, though. This is the premiere, well, this is a tough one. This is the premiere episode of the Chasing Chevy Chase podcast, which actually spun off of an episode of the Wake Up Heavy podcast, where Mark Begley had Chris Dashew and I on to talk about foul play. So with the Chasing Chevy Chase podcast, this will be a monthly show that will be over at chasingchevypodcast.com. Comes out the fourth Wednesday of every month. But as a special bonus with this first-ish episode, it's available here on this feed, as well as the CultureCast feed, as well as the Wake Up Heavy feed. It's all over the place. You can't escape it, nor should you. Be sure to go on over to chasingchevypodcast.com, subscribe, like it, enjoy it, and love it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chasing Chevy podcast, a podcast where we chase down Chevy Chase and ask him questions, and he doesn't respond. No, that's not what we're doing on the show. We're going to be talking about the films of Chevy Chase that we are contending are his vehicle films. No, not the movies where he's in cars, but the movies where he is the star. I am joined by, who am I? Who am I, you ask? This is not Rankin on Bass. I am the host of the CultureCast, Chris Dashew, and I'm joined by my two good friends all the way from the projection booth. You have heard him when we talked about foul play on Mark Begley's Wake Up Heavy, who's also here, Mike White. What a weird introduction.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Go makes with sense. This.
Yeah.
And also Mark Begley from Wake Up Heavy is here.
Stamps with animals? Yes, I believe we do.
And on this episode of the Chasing Chevy podcast, we're kicking it off by taking a look at a film that everybody remembers and remembers so fondly. And Don't you remember the first time you watched Oh Heavenly Dog? I sure don't. Yep, that's right. On this episode, we're kicking off our show with a look at 1980s fantasy comedy film. Comedy question mark? Oh, Heavenly Dog?
It's not a talking cat. There's no question mark in there. It's just, exclamation mark. Heavenly dog.
Oh, I know. I did the line reading intentionally incorrect, hoping one of you would go, that's not, there's no question marks in there.
Well, I fell into your trap. You made the classic blunder.
Yeah. A folly is you. That's right. The film is directed by Joe Camp, written by Rod Browning and Joe Camp, and it stars Chevy Chase, Jane Seymour, and everybody's favorite dog from the 80s and 70s, I guess. At least Mike. I know, Mike, you're a fan of the Benji films. And Chevy Chase plays a character named Benjamin, who is a private detective who is hired for a job that is not what it seems, only to be murdered, and comes back to life as a dog that happens to keep running into Jane Seymour, at least before he dies. But after he dies, he becomes attached to the hip by Jane Seymour's author character, who is now investigating the murder of Chevy Chase and the woman that Chevy Chase was hired to protect, who turns out to be a budding parliamentarian's girlfriend. There will be spoilers. This movie, however, is from 1980, so it's been a while. And it's also on YouTube if you want to watch it in its entirety, which may be the easiest place to find this movie, because this is not a movie that is easy to find on top of everything else. So, Mark, I'll kick it to you first. First time watching this movie, what did you think? When was the first time, if it wasn't this?
No, it was, and I was wondering before watching, I'm like, wait a minute, did I watch this? I was looking at the pictures on IMDb, and it sort of looked familiar. Some of the Jane Seymour shots were ringing a bell, and sat down to watch it last night, and I was like, nope, I've never seen this. So it was a first time watch, and possibly last time watch?
Oh.
I didn't quite enjoy it as much as I was hoping, unfortunately.
You seem really disappointed that you didn't like it. You seem a little disappointed that you didn't enjoy it.
I don't know. Something about his inner monologue the whole time just did not work for me.
Oh, I think it's pretty obvious what's wrong with the inner monologue, but I'm sure we'll get to it. Mike, what about you? What did you think of Heavenly Dog?
This is not my first time seeing this. I grew up on the Benji movies. The first Benji movie came out when I was 2 years old. And so Benji has pretty much been a part of my life since I was growing up. So I think I remember, I think they showed this to us in school. I mean, it feels like they wheeled in not the projector, but like the VCR. Because I remember we watched some weird shit when I was in elementary school, like Escape from Witch Mountain and Return to Witch Mountain. And I want to say, even though there are a few expletives in this, I mean, this was the 1970s. We were okay, you know, having shit in our PG or G rated movie. And this one, I think, is a PG, right? All those years ago.
I think so, because it's pretty adult for that was one of the things that took me by surprise. I was like, oh, this isn't like a bingey movie.
Right. Right.
They're playing to an older audience here. But
remember when we talked about thing Airplane that was PG and had tits in it? Like, it's
I mean, Jaws was PG. I mean, this fits as a PG. And well, this is before Reagan took office. So I guess we're still okay without having the nanny state. So I don't know how many times I've watched this, but watching it again yesterday for the show, I was just like, oh yeah, all of this is very familiar to me. I think I remembered even who the murderer was, but this is the Omar Sharif appearance that I grew up with even more than Top Secret. this was the first time I think I saw Jean Seymour, even before I saw her as Domino in Live and Let Die and Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I mean, this was it for me. This was a big deal movie. Came out, I guess, when I was 8 years old. And yeah, I remember watching it quite a bit. And Benji just being a major celeb back then. And I didn't realize, like, this whole thing of Joe Camp being the Benji director, but also working on some other things as well. But, and then his son is now in the Benji business. There was a 2018 Benji film that his son directed, Brandon. And I mean, obviously it's not the same Benji. I think even the Benji that was in the first Benji film in 1974 isn't the same Benji as this. But yeah, and I, for some reason, I always had it in my head like, oh, well, Benji is a French star, Benjean, and he was a huge phenomenon in France. No, that's not the case. He's got two trainers, and one of them, he's just got this huge mustache, big fat guy, wears a captain's hat around and these crazy red pants. And just, yeah, to watch the background on Benji, because there was a TV special made around both this and the he did a Marine Land special as well. So watching that, hosted by Adam Rich, who I still dislike to this day. I don't know what it was about Adam Rich. Maybe it was his haircut. I don't know. But yeah.
Wasn't he a little turd on Eight is Enough?
I think he was a little turd. He kind of reminds me of like a Cousin Oliver type of kid. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, get this guy out of here. Wasn't he even on Battlestar Galactica? Sorry, we're changing this from the Chevy Chase cast to the I Hate Adam Rich cast.
Is it ironic that Adam Rich's final role was in Dickie Roberts' former child star? That's real.
It is real. I can't remember if I ever saw that movie, but I definitely remember it.
Hey, any movie that is considered David Spade vehicle can only be one of two things. Bad or really bad.
I do like some Joe Dirt, at least the original, not the sequel.
Dirte, you mean? So I guess we jumped the gun a little bit, but if you listen to our Foul Play episode over on Mark's show Wake Up Heavy, you probably have a better idea of us as Chevy Chase fans or where we come in at it. But I would say the three of us consider ourselves fans of Chevy Chase, right? All from maybe different angles or approaches or things that got us into Chevy Chase. Mike, would this be the first Chevy Chase thing you ever saw, right?
I mean, I might have seen Foul Play before this, but yeah, this was probably the one that really got me in there. I mean, I remember watching a little SNL in the mid-70s, but it was probably later 70s, probably like around the time of Foul Play. So I don't even know if he was still on SNL at that time.
What about you, Mark?
It would have been because of SNL, even though I didn't really watch it. It was such a phenomenon that a lot of kids, you know, got wrapped up in stuff like Coneheads and Landshark and King Tut and all that stuff that just permeated popular culture. So I know that I was into all of these guys and wanted to see the movies that they were in. And this one just passed me by. But Chevy Chase is the one person that I have had a signed picture of. I wrote to him. I don't know how or where I sent my request, but I think I did him and Steve Martin and a couple of those other Saturday Night Live guys. And I'm pretty sure he's the only one that, or his assistant, sent me a signed headshot of Chevy Chase.
Wow. Do you still have it?
No, I think it ended up, I think it was in that Saturday Night Live book. I don't know if you remember this, Mike, but for my show Cambridge and with Sean, I did an episode on my Saturday Night Live obsession. And I had a book when I was a kid, and I've been trying to track it down for years and finally found it online on the Internet Archive, and my made a PDF of it for me. And then I ended up buying it on eBay anyway. But I think I had it stored in that book, and that book is long. The one I had as a kid is long gone. So yeah, I was a fan of his just because of Saturday Night Live. And I'm a little bit older than you, Mike, but I never really watched it because it was on so late and it was kind of adult and, you know, would catch things every once in a while if my parents went out late or something and we had a babysitter. And so, I mean, he was only in the first season and maybe the first six or so episodes of the second season. So wow. I probably didn't. And that was 75, 76. So I would have been like 6 and 7 years old. So I don't think I even saw him on Saturday Night Live until years later.
When you boil down his presence on Saturday Night Live, it is shocking how much of an impact he made with as little time as he was on the show. But I think that speaks to Chevy Chase. I mean, again, we talked on the Foul Play episode a little bit about him and his whatevers. Like, I mean, again, like, guy's never been accused of any of the really bad stuff in Hollywood, thankfully. I mean, I don't think we'd be doing an entire show about someone who had like hundreds of allegations against them of any sort of really upsetting type. But it's just the usual, like, just, you know, creative and personality and ego things getting in the way. So, you know, again, we kind of already mentioned it, but like he made such an impact with such a little amount of time. I mean, the first thing I saw him in was Fletch. That made a huge impact on me personally. And it's not that I went and tracked down all the other movies he was in because of Fletch, but I just rewatched Fletch a lot. I just rewatched that one movie and then the sequel. So that was my entry point. And I watched Fletch on DivX, of all things. I remember owning it on DivX, that in the sequel, and that being one of those DivX movies that was actually purchased so that it could be rewatched over and over again, because that was the whole scam / gimmick with those things was, oh, pay us $10 and you can watch the thing you bought again. Okay. I don't know, like, in this day and age with all the stuff in people's houses that has to have subscriptions anyways, like, now it kind of makes sense, but then it was like, okay, this is weird. I had never seen this, though. I had seen it come up a couple times as like a thing that I was going to watch or should watch or had thought about it. I know we'd talked about it before, like it had come up like, oh, Heavenly Dog a couple times. Like we had just talked about it in passing. So it's weird to finally be watching it. That being said, I kind of am in the middle. Like I could see, Mike, why if you saw this at the right age, it would be not like something fun, but something that has like a level of memorability to it, because there are some things that are mildly memorable. The dog parts, the parts in heaven, I think are kind of interesting. But
Star Wars heaven.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah. When my wife and I were watching it, I was like, oh, look, this movie came out just a little bit around the time of Star Wars, didn't it? Like, I didn't even have to know that this movie came out in 80 when they make that Star Wars reference. I was like, man, this was such a thing. But I don't know. It's also weird to now be living in a time where like Star Wars is still a fucking thing. Because in 1980, I don't think if you had told them like, oh, by the way, we're still burdened with Star Wars in 2023. They'd be like, yeah, right. You are. So I found the movie to have its charms. But Chevy Chase is ultimately the reason this movie doesn't work. Because all of that fucking narration is just like, dude, where is the effort? What are you doing? Like, oh,
it's pretty bad.
I'm a dog now. Like, put in.
Wow.
It's weird. Like, there's It's obvious that he went back in and re-recorded it, which is the case. But it just doesn't seem like his heart was in it in some of those line readings.
Because, it's very Harrison Ford in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford in Blade Runner is like Shakespeare compared to this.
Yeah, this actively impedes my ability to enjoy the movie because it's like, Chevy, if I'm expected to take you as the dog at the moment, make it seem like it. I'm a dog now. Yep. All right. What am I doing? Oh, I'm looking at something. Okay. Let me do the line reading. Oh no. Watch out. Don't hurt me. Like, it's just like, there's no emotion. It's like he read it the way it was written on the page and he wasn't watching the movie, which I know that's how they did this. They synced it up with the movie. Like, he is watching the movie doing the line readings, and it's just like, man, I'm not saying it would have fixed anything or everything, but it would have fixed the latter two-thirds of the movie not working or being funny or I don't know. It's so weird how bad the line readings are. It really gets in the way of my ability to enjoy parts of this.
I had no real problems with the line readings. I don't know why they assumed that they could record the voiceover first and then do the Benji parts, because you don't know exactly how that stuff is going to go. It's not like animation where you can draw to the voice.
Right.
The dog won't do things to the voice. I mean, the stuff that Benji is doing here, I think, is pretty darn incredible. And then I was glad watching behind the scenes and seeing things like him getting kicked out of the hotel or the apartment building.
That was brutal.
Running down the fucking stairs. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, okay. So there's one trainer who's in the lobby calling. There's another trainer who's in this window up here and there. It's really kind of schizophrenic because one's calling, so Benji looks over here, the other one calls, so he looks up there, and then back and forth. So he's like, you know, contemplating how he's going to get into this building and then looking up at her window, at the dead woman's window. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of cool. Before we get to the weird gay parts with Alan
I love gay characters in the 70s and 80s, man. It's like it's like you couldn't exist in real life, but hey, movies exist, thank God.
It's so weird. Like, his part just feels so abridged, and that he died off screen someplace.
Got run over by a car.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, why was this character that you just introduced during this one scene? Why did he come back? Because he adds nothing to the narrative whatsoever, other than saying, oh, it's the one with the porcelain bird. And I'm like, how do you even know who this woman is? Because I don't know when you died in comparison to the Chevy Chase character, to Benjamin. So this is bizarre. So I don't mean to poke holes in this well thought out narrative or anything, but it was just a little odd for me. And it was almost as odd as her coming back, Jane Seymour coming back as a cat at the very end of the movie, and me just thinking, this is not Ghostbusters. Yeah, these are not cats and dogs sleeping together. This is a whole other thing. You ever see an elephant make love to a pot-bellied pig?
Are you telling me that in this movie that they didn't think out the idea of interspecies erotica again?
I think it's called slash fiction.
Oh, okay.
And my daughter and I kind of looked at each other like, how is this supposed to work?
Well, I guess it would have been funnier if he had come back as a rat in terms of logistics.
Yeah.
I did want to point out also, is like, is this a Benji like origin story? Because at the end of the movie, he goes, my friends call me Benji. And it's like, okay, so that's the dog's name that everybody knows this dog actor by, is Benji. So are we to believe that every Benji movie is now, it's just Chevy Chase is Benji, and that's why Benji can do human things, is because it's a human's soul trapped in Benji's body? I'm just asking, as they say, I'm just asking questions. I mean, he says at the end, like, it's unnecessary for him to go, I'm Benji at the end. It's like, whoa, movie. Hold on a second.
I thought it was her saying, what do I call you? Do I call you BJ? And he's like, no, because that stands for blowjob. I don't really want to be known by that. Can you imagine that? Yeah. So maybe my real name is Benjamin. And she's like, well, you don't seem like a Benjamin. How about a Benji? And I think he says no to that.
Says my friends used to call me Benji.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, is it a Benji origin story? Like, you're, I don't think you're the Benji fan.
I don't think they're trying to retcon the entire Benji thing since the first one had come out, like, what, 6 years prior to that? Yeah. They'd already had, like, quite a few things in between. Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to consider every subsequent movie to be Chevy Chase inside of Benji.
I mean, I'd like to, I think, is... Yeah. I don't know.
That's true. That's true. I mean, what was that line about outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend, but inside of a dog, it's way too dark to read?
Yeah. You know, all of the kind of the weird is Chevy, all of that aside, like, again, I feel like, yes, the stuff with Chevy Chase is not great. But I think to your point, Mike, like, obviously, if you view this as a Benji movie, I think the Benji stuff is fine. It's just this is a weird way to get to Benji Solves a Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because, like, you could have done this any other way, any multitude of ways, including Benji just being your dog sidekick that helps you but isn't have a human soul in it, isn't speaking English while you're, again, like, speaking English to other animals, and there's a hierarchical heaven involved. You could have just had Benji be somebody's dog that they keep with them, like, it I don't know, like, to get to this
witness to the murderer. And,
well,
he could have been that gal's pet and doesn't see the murder, but have, you know, has to help Chevy. Maybe he just didn't want to be in the movie. You know, like, oh, I only have to shoot a couple of days? Great.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Sit in the studio the rest of the time?
Well, yeah, because he had three movies that all came out in 1980. Because this came out, 2 weeks or 2 months? I think it was 2 weeks before Caddyshack.
And I wonder how, it doesn't feel like a 1980 movie to me.
No.
It feels a little like it may have been shot a couple of years earlier or something. I don't know.
Well, the shitty quality of the video does not help either.
Well, yeah, that plus all the sets. When he first goes up to his office, I was like, man, that looks like a TV set.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they had a whole lot of money. Yeah.
In the other Benji movies, is there narration? Is there an inner monologue?
No, which makes it really painful, because I tried to watch the first Benji movie again yesterday, and so Benji has a theme song. Charlie Rich sings the theme song, and that theme song just keeps playing over and over and over again as you watch. I mean, Benji's adorable, and you're watching him do all this stuff, and he goes around, and he visits, like, this family where it's this maid and these two kids. But then they also visits Uncle Joe from Petticoat Junction, which I didn't realize that Benji had been on Petticoat Junction. And then he also, there's like a few other people. And then it becomes like this whole kidnapping plot and stuff. And no, he doesn't say anything. And there's no voiceover narration. So you're just like, ba 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 da da, like, over and over and over again as you watch Benji just doing stuff. And I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I can't take the music just over and over. And then I watch that making of thing, that Benji at work thing, and at one point they start playing that song. I'm like, oh my god, I had flashbacks.
So, well, it sounds like you wanted the Chevy Chase narration. You wanted Chevy Chase to be narrating.
Yeah.
In those,
it helps. Yeah, it definitely does. And he, you know, he adds a couple little things in there. I didn't mind this one nearly as much as you guys did.
Chuckles.
I don't think I disliked it. I just think it's weird for the star quality and caliber of Chevy Chase. This is not the time that I would have expected him to be phoning it in, I guess, is more kind of my thinking. Like, maybe if this movie had come out, like, because obviously, know how much of research y'all did into movies where people get reincarnated as dogs.
But I'm a big body swap fan, so yeah, this might have been the origin.
There's one in 2003 starring Gary Busey, where he is a Quigley, and it's like, I know that these kinds of movies have been coming out and that this kind of movie is popular, so it's not like, oh, Chevy Chase is making this movie in 2004 and it's a lark. He's being asked to do this in 1980 or 79. So it's surprising that he's phoning it in only because this doesn't feel like the time to phone it in. If he was going to phone it in, I would expect he would be phoning it in as he's part of the Gary Busey dog Christian movie, which is all of the it's like a Christian dog movie on top of everything else. At the end, the dog is crucified
with Oz Perkins.
Yeah.
And Oz Perkins is in that movie.
Fucking bizarre.
They just covered that on God Awful Movies and I had never heard of it before. And I was like, what is this? A prequel to Quigley Down Under? But no, I was like, no, it's a fucking Heavenly Dog ripoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's it was on Red Letter Media. That's how I know about it. Best of the Worst or something like that.
Oh, but that's just my, again, feelings, just like immediate feelings on all this is like, why was he phoning it in here? Because this is not like he's a big star right now. This is the moment where his star power matters. And it's going to, as we do this show, it's going to peak at some point, and then we're going to have a very long and drawn out time of just like movies where we're like, oh, okay, they're still casting Chevy Chase because he's Chevy Chase, but that doesn't hold a lot of water anymore in terms of like drawing an audience in. Right now, though, not the case. Like this movie is made the way it is because of a movie like Foul Play. No, like, oh, he's a detective. He was a cop in that movie. Like they're literally just looking at something like Foul Play and going, that was successful. How can we do that? And it's like, well, I get you tried, but man, like where was Chevy Chase in all of this? Like, why was his head not in it? That's what I wonder. Because again, I don't think the plot and setup of the movie isn't interesting. It's more interesting than it is just kind of rote.
Well, my thought as I was watching it for the hour and 43 minutes runtime was, you left Saturday Night Live for this? Because that was always reading that book that I have and just, you know, interviews that I've heard over the years and his kind of beef with John Belushi and how they were trying to be, you know, the guy. And this was a springboard to other things. And I don't think Chevy Chase ever feels like he's getting the commendations that he should. And, you know, he was like always listed as head writer or whatever on those early Saturday Night Live episodes and left pretty quickly from the show and to do movies, to be a movie star. I mean, that was the goal. And I'm like, yeah, this is the second thing after Foul Play, you know, right on the heels of course, Caddyshack and Seems Like Old Times both come out the same year too. But I don't know. That's, I missed a lot of the movie because that's all I kept thinking of is this is why you left Saturday Night Live was to do this really bad narration for a dog movie. I don't know.
And that's the other thing that I was wondering while watching this movie. Would it have been better if it had been, because I'm not saying the movie's not funny. I mean, again, I don't know how much of a comedy it ends up being or in terms of being a film that tries to elicit some humorous reaction. I didn't find it to be that funny either. So I was actually wondering, like, why even cast someone like Chevy Chase? Like, why not cast a different actor? And then I think the tone may have also been different. It's not that Jane Seymour feels like she's in a different movie, but it does feel like there are two, if not three, movies kind of going on within this movie, because the tone of the heaven parts is so comedic. And then when he's running around as the dog, nothing that he's doing is overtly comedic, but yet those monologues or, you know, the narration is meant to add those comedic bits. But because they fail so, I guess, obviously, because again, like Chevy Chase has just seemed so disinterested. It's like, well, I would like to just see this movie if it weren't a comedy then. Like, just make it more of like a thriller, like more of a Foul Play. I think the thing that I was most surprised by in Foul Play was how much of a noir movie it ended up being, while still having those comedy bits. I guess I was kind of assuming this movie was going to be more of a noir movie, and it kind of wants to be at times. Like, it really is trying to be more of a detective movie than anything else. I think if it had been that, it might have worked better even with Chevy Chase doing kind of his stilted delivery, if it had just not tried to be funny. If they were like, don't be funny, like just do the Foul Play thing, like be aloof, that would work better. I would have thought it would have worked better for this movie, at least, because again, it's kind of like Foul Play with a dog resurrection angle.
Uh-huh. Oh, like you do.
Explain to me how he runs into her by happenstance in Paris. I was really confused by all that.
I guess that's where the dog that's about to get hit by a garbage truck is.
Right. Why Paris, though? Why
would
she was yeah. in? He ran into her previously in London.
And she said she was going to Paris.
Right. Did she? Okay, I'm thinking yeah. that.
But
part.
Then, like, but it's, yeah, it is all.
She was leaving. But it also, she said she works for Time Magazine. And then it feels like she's going to see that the one really super ultra British actor, Robert Morley, is that Morley, his name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels like she's going to see him there. But at the same time, I think we see him back in London later on. I don't know.
I think
and then so. Also she drives, but we don't see her car on the ferry because we yeah. don't have a channel at this point.
And they made it look like it's just a long country drive between Paris and yeah. London. I was like, yeah. where's the ferry?
Well, yeah. they had to use the Elton John song enough times to cover.
Oh my
up,
God!
To cover well, you up mentioned all that, of that.
You mentioned that Benji thing, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, boy. They played the hell out of those Elton John and that one Paul McCartney and Wings song. It's like we mm-hmm. paid for these things; we're gonna fucking use them the whole time.
The gag when he goes to heaven, and I'm trying to remember the name of the actor who's there to help him out. He just keeps using all of these acronyms, and I'm like, okay, this is funny for like 5 seconds, and then it just keeps going on from there. And the thing though that I did like about Heaven, well, like two things. I liked horny Sally Kellerman
yes.
as the clerk with the Princess Leia buns, so I guess we're doing even more Star Wars up here. And then I loved having Lorenzo Music being the voiceover narrator of the loudspeaker system, which I thought was fantastic. Which is ironic also because Lorenzo Music for so many years was the voice of Garfield before yep. that thief, Bill Murray, came in and stole his valor.
And yep. and well, now Chris Pratt is coming in and stealing everyone's valor because Chris Pratt is now the voice of Garfield.
Chris Pratt, voiceover skills.
Doing Chris Pratt.
Yes. Just like he did with Mario.
I hate Mondays. Chris, thanks for that line reading. You're hired.
Lasagna.
Delicious. Susan Kellerman is billed as a German clerk, which I'm sure. Yeah, the bun thing. Speaking of Elvira, Susan Kellerman, obviously, she's fun in this movie. I was wondering if she would ever come back, but
no, I kept hoping, yeah, especially because right? yeah, she was just such a horn dog. I was like, yeah, yes.
They needed to finish their little tete-a-tete.
Yeah, and I liked how she put him in a body that was going to, like, he had to get out of it by a certain time. So then we've got a ticking clock, but really it's because she wants him to come back up to heaven so they can shtup.
Yeah, yeah,
that was wow. great.
She likes the way he says bastard.
Yes, it really turns her
around. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, again, like, I feel like, you know, obviously, if none of that had been in the movie, like, what would have been, I guess, like, the draw of this movie would have just been a Benji movie. And I guess I'm sitting here thinking, like, why wasn't that enough? Because it had been enough up until this point. I mean, they took a pretty substantial break in between this movie and the next Benji movie. It was like 7 years in between this movie and the next Benji movie. So,
well, it was all TV specials after that because, right. like I said, he did that Marine World one. I think there was like a phenomenon of Benji movie that was like a documentary. Yeah, there were, he was still working, but just, yeah, not theatrically. There was also a 1983 TV series called Benji, Zax, and the Alien Prince, which I never saw. But yeah, I think they picked back up with Benji the Hunted in 87, to your point.
So, like, again, like, it's not like Benji wasn't popular. It's just, why inject this weird fantasy angle? Because this was not a thing that's part of Benji's movies, and not like there's some sort of Benji canon, but the Benji movies are just dog movies. They're just movies mm-hmm. with a dog. There's no supernatural angle or anything. So it just, again, if you're going to do it, fine. It just doesn't seem very well thought out. And yeah, the whole thing with the acronyms is just like, man, who thought this was funny? Mm-hmm. Sitting around that writer's room, everybody chuckling. And it's like, man, that's not going to translate really well on screen, you guys.
It felt like a bad Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Bit.
It felt like a bad bit. Whoever yeah, it came I mean, from. Yeah.
But yeah. the whole like kind of Star Wars parody angle of it, when he turned on that miniature lightsaber and that sound came on, my daughter was like, we were just looked at each other like, what the hell? We're going there, I guess. We're going there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not only does it go there, it goes there and like Chevy Chase acknowledges that it's a Star Wars thing. Like, that's right. The thing on top of everything else, because he's like, he like reacts to it in a way that he knows what that is because he's seen Star Wars. That is the only way I can take that. And so that is, it's so bizarre. But again, like, just back to the idea of like Star Wars has been with us for so fucking long at this point, like where we are now. But yeah, it's like, oh my God, right. Even in 80, they were having to contend with this fucking burgeoning pop culture megalith. I mean, now it is what it is. But then it's like, okay, lightsabers, that's what everybody knows. It's more the noise than anything. I feel like it's not even the visuals of the lightsaber. It's that noise that's so iconic that they just, they have him wiggle the thing around a couple of times. All right, well, we've paid Lucasfilm. Perfect.
Wanted to see when this, what time of the year this was released, because Empire was coming out this year. So
that's true.
Where is it? They were going off of A New Hope.
You love lightsabers in Empire Strikes Back, you'll love them in Benji and Oh Heavenly Dog.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that was confusing to me was her immediate jump onto this story.
Yeah. And it sounds like she had been writing a book for a while, but then the story enters into it.
That's what was confusing to me. I'm like, what was she researching prior to this? Because it seemed like she was doing something else and then this pops up and now I'm writing a novel about a novel.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you write a novel about the, I just was like, what are we just getting her into the, I mean, she's a reporter. So can't it just be an article about this? Why is it a book? I don't know. It just seemed goofy to me.
Yeah. And then the Scotland Yard will not help her out because she wrote a book about Scotland Yard and was making fun of them.
Yeah. Was that her book? I thought it was the old British guy's book.
Oh,
see, I got confused. I got confused by a lot of things. I kind of.
Yeah. That's right. Because he does come back. Yeah.
I know he holds up the book. So I assumed it was his, but maybe it was hers and he's her publisher or something. I don't know. I got lost a lot. I'm just kind of zoned out after a while.
Mark in the galaxy.
That might be a recurring theme. As I'm looking at the list of Chevy Chase movies that we're doing, I'm like, yeah, this might happen on occasion where I just kind of start looking at the ceiling and stuff, which will make for a really interesting podcast.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be a great series. I'm glad we started.
It's just like Richard all over again, man. I'm really not excited by the end of this. Mark's would be like, I really wish I had enjoyed those movies earlier on.
No, there's a lot of good stuff coming up too. So well, it's going to be up and down.
Well, that's the thing though. Like in terms of this being a Chevy Chase movie, I think it really fails on, because again, like to hew to his star power in 79 to 80, this motherfucker's got to be on screen. Keep him on screen.
Well, like, what's part of his shtick?
Is physical comedy.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, it's like beyond me why they were doing this with him in 80. Because again, yes, he is, you know, a pithy dickhead and that's the character, but they don't even.
That wasn't his thing, though.
How do you do that with a dog anyways? Like the dog, the humans are responding to the dog. The way to do this movie would have been the dog talks and the humans can hear him. Like, wouldn't that have been.
Or Chevy can hear him, or he's the only one that can hear him, right. Or something.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like the idea that you have Chevy Chase and the first thing you do is kill him in like the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then he's not on screen and it's just like his voice from beyond the grave. And then he shows up twice in the movie and it takes me out of the movie completely. When it's all of a sudden Chevy Chase after an hour of it not being Chevy Chase, I was like, oh, Mike, wait, I forgot that you were in this movie. Like, I genuinely don't even remember what you look like in this movie anymore. And then he shows up, you know, kind of once about two thirds of the way through the movie. And then right there at the end again, I'm like, oh, right. Chevy Chase is also in this movie. It would have been nice if he had been on screen. I'm not saying it would have fixed everything, but it should have been Chevy Chase as the detective and Jane Seymour as the voice of Benji, right? Like, I don't know if that would have, again, but then you have the beautiful and talented Jane Seymour having to do the same bullshit that Chevy Chase is doing with, I am a dog now.
She might have been more committed to the line readings, though.
She might have been.
She did a pretty decent job there at the end when she was doing the line readings as a cat.
Yeah.
That is true.
The cat wasn't committed, though. The cat just like, looking between the beans and everything.
I know, right?
Yeah. And she's allegedly having a conversation. Like, no, that cat, when cats are doing that, they're just thinking about that thing, I think. I don't want to say that they can't have multiple inner monologues, but I think that they really spend a lot of time and concentration on that.
Can't train cats, folks, clearly. Wow. They do whatever the fuck they please.
Yeah, I think there are people that think that they train cats, but I think the cats have trained them.
Oh, that's true. That's just true in this household.
It's their world and we're just living it.
Exactly.
I know we kind of mentioned the Alan Seuss character, but
line of the film, or last credit of the film. Woof.
Yeah.
My feelings, exactly, movie.
When you get that voiceover of them in the car when Seuss picks him up and he's like, oh, hey, you know, it's like, oh, I was just reaching for the gear shift. I was like, really? We're going to do that. We're going to
get it. He's gay.
Grabbing joke. Yes.
Yeah. If his voice wasn't enough, apparently they have to have him go for Chevy Chase's crankshaft. So, And then he comes back and it's like, why?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. I mean, even if he had stayed human and he became the sidekick, I would have been okay with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything would have been better than making the guy who's on your poster the only Jane Seymour is recognizable, but Chevy Chase is like face front and center, and you're like, oh, but he's gonna be the dog the whole boy. I just want to know whose decision that was, because any of these auxiliary, secondary, tertiary characters being animals would have been fine. Have Chevy Chase interacting with all animals the entire movie. Just don't make him an animal, because
he could have had animal helpers, you know, right. A cat that was in the window of the apartment and getting his information while Jane Seymour is trying to get her information from the humans, and him not being able to express that to her, you know, verbally. But they sort of attempt it a few times with him finding clues, and the whole bit with finding that phone number in the Rolodex and stuff like that was pretty interesting.
The mystery itself isn't bad at all.
Right. As I say, like, the noir aspects of this movie actually kind of work. Like the stuff with Omar Sharif, he's pretty menacing in this movie. I mean, Omar Sharif. God,
when he grabs that dog, when he grabs Benji by the arm, I am just, that noise of a dog yelping just sets me on edge, man.
Yep. Same.
Those few times where I'll like pick up one of my dog's tests and like my finger might go between a rib or something, and she'll yelp. I'm just like, oh my God, I feel terrible. I feel so awful.
You step on their paw.
Oh,
or whatever.
God. Yes.
Just think what their Chevy Chase inner monologue is saying about you.
Oh, yeah, true.
Oh, this guy again.
Like it called some choice words.
Just like that.
But you have to have like dick jokes in the movie quite a few times, because he has to like check out his own junk at one point and make several comments about it.
Yeah.
Which is odd because it's a female dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, because this is, like you mentioned, Mike, this is not Benjean. This is Benji. This is Benji's daughter, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, because it's pretty great. You can go into on the Plex server. You can, you know, go under the original Benji and see the dog actor. But there's no picture, unfortunately. And then you click on that and shows you all the movies that dog was in. And then you go back to Oh Heavenly Dog. And it's a different dog actor. Then you go into those movies. I'm like, this is pretty great.
The deep dive. The Benji rabbit hole.
Yes. Luckily, Benji didn't get Me Too'd.
Yeah.
So I heard there are a lot of legs that Benji tried to hump. The original Benji. Yeah. It was the 70s. It was a different time. Yeah, come on.
Benji defends himself live on podcast.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Benji apology when he goes on to Marc Maron.
I just want to apologize for my conduct with the voice of Chevy Chase, mind you.
Oh, that'd be great.
The dog opens its mouth and it's just the voice of Chevy Chase. I don't mind like dog or animal centric movies. I know that again, that like that, you know, the old joke in Hollywood is don't work with animals and don't work with kids. And, you know, I am of the mindset for the most part that when kids are in movies, boy, they tend to be precocious little shits and get in the way and draw attention to themselves. But when animals are in movies, it seems like as with this, it's like this is like the fucking centric focus of the movie is that like it, like a lot of times like, oh, did the dog die in a horror movie is the common question, or does the dog die? But when it's like the dog and it's an animal centric movie, I don't have a problem with it. It's just they all feel, unless it, there's like a supernatural or paranormal angle, they all are very like samey. They all most animal movies like of a certain ilk. And I mean, obviously we're living in a post Air Bud world where Disney has driven the genre into the ground and then some. But I don't mind the idea of like an animal centric movie. I mean, Strays came out this year, which was actually a lot of fun. I don't know if either one of you saw that, but like it was it was a fun comedy with dogs voiced by actors, and guess what, they all put in a hell of a performance, and it's an actually somewhat fun movie. It's just I was just thinking to myself, like, how do you fix this movie? And it's like, I don't think you can without just like really doing something completely different from what this movie is, which is not the kind of fun lark that the movie is attempting to be. I don't know how much of a lark your movie can be if Jane Seymour is just getting murdered in the final reels, like unceremoniously on top of everything else.
It is strange when she gets murdered. It's even strange when he gets murdered. And I'm just like,
yeah,
oh, he's got to get out of this somehow because he's, you know, in the apartment, finds the corpse. We have the killer with the knife coming at him. And I'm just like, oh, how's he going to get out of this? He doesn't. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot he dies.
Yeah, I was surprised by, I mean, I knew they happened, but it is still surprising to see him go. And then I'm like, well, how are they going to reconcile this at the end? Is he going to get to come back through some loophole? Mm-hmm. And no, they went the other way and said, okay, she's going to come back as the wrong species.
Yeah.
Is that part of the gag at the end? Like, he's forever doomed to, like, now the woman that he loves is a cat? Like, is that part?
I don't know.
They don't hang a lantern on it. So I was like, is the movie being that clever, or am I just giving it too much credit? Like, because
probably too much credit,
right? You would feel right, like, yeah, you would feel definitely. Like the movie would have like mentioned at some point, like in those like last couple lines, like, oh shit, we still can't, you know, it would be weird if we did, so we can't. Like, they don't even say that. And again, this is a movie where there are dog dick jokes, so they're not above making those jokes.
Right. Yeah. And he gets hops in the tub with her on two occasions, at least, that we see, or one's off screen, but it's implied that he jumps in earlier and then he's in there with her later. So,
yeah.
He really is the best part of this movie, though, Jane Seymour. Like, you mentioned her in Live and Let Die, Mike. Like, she's great here. She's adorable. I like her every time I've seen her in anything. I've not searched her out as an actress, but she's great here. She's great in Wedding Crashers. She is.
Was she?
Yeah. She is. She's amazing.
She's great in Live and Let Die. I mean, you know, we'll be covering that in the near future. But she's fantastic. She is just, I think, as cute as Goldie Hawn is kind of rambunctious in Foul Play. Like, she plays that foil to Chevy Chase that you would wish he would have been on screen to act against. That,
yeah,
it's like, that's the problem here. It's like, I kind of just wish this had been Foul Play just with the two of them with no dog angle at all. Like, it really is two separate movies. And if it had been two separate movies, I think they both could have worked separated from this movie, trying to like mash not disparate genres together, but two very disparate ideas.
I really would have been okay had we had more of them at the beginning, had they had a dinner date and just got to know each other a little bit more, and then had she made the connection, this really feels like Benjamin, the guy I went out with, mm-hmm. who got murdered accidentally, and then known about his death and like made comments about his death, because there's not a whole lot there as far as what ties these two things together.
It's like it all happens off screen.
That was the one of the confusing things for me. Like, hey, I expect her to figure this out, but how would she? She bumped right into him on the street one time.
Exactly. One, literally, and if, one time.
If they yeah had had that dinner and maybe he even mentioned, you know, oh, I got this case this morning I need to check out of whatever that gal's name was that gets murdered. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then it would be odd that she keeps bumping into that, him in these spots where that gal is, where Omar Sharif is, where the prime minister to be is. Then it would kind of unravel maybe in her head. And I mean, she eventually figures it out, but it takes a lot longer to get there and is a little more far-fetched than it mm-hmm could have been.
Well, when at the end of the movie, when she's like, now I want to introduce myself properly to you. And it's like, fuck, like you went to heaven and figured this shit out all off screen. Also, like everything has been told in an off screen mechanic in this movie, like every mechanism to tell us the story we have been deprived of because the movie doesn't have the confidence to show it to us until they do. They show us stuff, weird things in heaven, but then they like refuse to go back to it. They're just like, all right, you've seen it once. That's good enough. Now you're going to see Chevy Chase on all fours twice in this movie on Earth. It's like, what? This just is, I don't know, like pick one or the other. You can't do both. And then at the end, yeah, Jane Seymour just, okay. I guess she learns all of this off screen, just like Chevy Chase did. Like,
okay, sure.
Yeah, I kind of wish we had more of the heaven stuff just to see the kind of the mechanics of it. I mean, that's like the most interesting part of a lot of movies where they do this, like a Defending Your Life or even, for God's sakes, RIPD, like the office stuff and the politics and what's going on there is so much more interesting than the mystery in RIPD. And plus you get to see Mary, oh God, I can't remember her name, with these amazing go-go boots in that movie. No?
I assumed that this was going to be a riff on Heaven Can Wait and or Here Comes Mr. Jordan in a way, right, which I guess it's the same basic idea of your, but it wasn't more of a, we made a mistake, you're not supposed to be here thing. It's like, this is what happens is you get you know, it's a not a resurrection. What's the word? You come back.
Yeah, resurrection. Life after death. Reincarnation.
Reincarnation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, there were a couple movies that were listed on the IMDb as far as like, oh, if you, you know, to continue looking down this, like, see also. So they had things like Fluke, which was a guy coming back, which oddly was written, the book of that was written in 77, and then it's not made until a movie until 95, and it's Matthew Modine coming back. Chris already mentioned Quigley. I don't know how this ties into A Dog's Purpose. After I saw some of the stuff on that, I didn't want to see the movie. But it also, they mentioned this movie from 1951 called You Never Can Tell, where it's more about a dog that wins a million, or doesn't win, it gets $1 million, inherits $1 million and has to be taken care of by, I don't know, Peggy Dow and Charles Drake. And I know Dick Powell's in that movie too. As soon as I saw that Dick Powell was in it, I was like, okay, yeah, let's do this. But I guess the dog is poisoned and comes back as Dick Powell. So it's like a reversal of, oh, Heavenly Dog. Yeah. Like, I would like to see this.
You have all the ones of people coming back as people as well, where,
right,
what was the one where the, was it Chris Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Preacher's Wife.
Remake. Well, and he did a remake of Heaven Can Wait as well, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I'm thinking of, but it's that.
Is there one where he dies and is one where he's Denzel? Is there a Chris Rock as Denzel movie or am I?
I think you're mixing up Preacher's Wife with Heaven Can Wait. They were out around the same time.
Wait, what's the movie with Bob Hoskins and
Critical Condition,
where he's a racist with the Denzel's heart?
Right.
Yeah.
Or is that just Heartbeat? Oh, geez. I remember when that came out. No, not Heartbeats.
Let's not get into that movie.
No, we'll save that one for a 5-hour projection booth special with Alan Arkush and Bernadette.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
See if Alan Arkush wants to talk about that one.
You might be able to get Andy Kaufman. I mean, he is alive, so.
There is that.
Just got to track him down. Yes.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about movies with dogs in them that are better than this one.
Heart Condition is the name of that movie from 1990. Yep. Which means it was way before that Chris Rock movie, because back in 1990, Chris Rock was starring as the crackhead in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yeah, the, can I have one chicken wing or whatever, 50 right. cents?
One rib?
One rib, that one
I
rib.
I sure am hungry. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Oh, just, how about a drink? What is it? My cups cost more than a
yeah,
quarter.
Yeah, that's right. Man, that's what this movie needed. Just Bernie Mac as the voice of the dog.
Oh,
that
man.
Was what have fixed it. That would have fixed everything. Anything. I don't think anything can fix this movie the way that it is, because it's just too disparate of things. But, you know, if you want to do a movie where you've got Jane Seymour and Chevy Chase being pursued by a villainous Omar Sharif around London, I'm game for that. And that's the other thing. You know, I would just thinking about this against Foul Play. Foul Play takes place in San Francisco. They use the scenery and the setting rather well. This could have been fucking set anywhere. I know that it's in London, but the fact that it's in London seems kind of just, you know, not anything that anybody really has anything to say about. It's just it's set in London.
Right.
Okay. Right. So what? Like there are opportunities to do something with that as well for easy comedy, and they don't even do that. It's surprising.
When they couldn't even get the dog to London because of the health restrictions and stuff. So all the stuff with Benji is not shot in London. It's mostly like back lot or what they also shot in Paris in the US, I imagine. So it's mostly
it said at the end credits Montreal.
Montreal, so
I think
that's
what
they
used a lot of the exteriors there.
Cause yeah.
I want to say one, and this is IMDb, so take it with a grain of salt, but it said that none of it was filmed in the States. So I guess even the sets and things were filmed elsewhere, probably either Montreal or London, which I found odd because I'm thinking Benji seems to be an all-American thing.
Right.
Like why is this set in London? He's American.
Yeah.
That Chase. Was odd. Yeah.
It's like the moment you think about this movie 2 seconds longer than it wants to, it starts making like it starts being even more infuriating that that's what this is. Because they, well, you have all these things, you spend all this time and you do nothing with it, like nothing at all.
It seems like it's one of those. This is an existing script that, you know, we didn't have Chevy Chase in mind. We maybe didn't even have Benji in mind. And they somehow get inserted in this whole thing. It could have been a British farce type of deal with a detective coming back. Probably would have been more enjoyable with a, you know, I can't think of a big British star at the time, you know, comedic star who, yeah, doing Eric the voice Idol, and
anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like they're kind of wedged into this just because Benji's a thing and Chevy Chase is becoming a thing. So let's get those guys. But it's written by Joe Camp, who was the Benji guy. So that probably isn't even right, but it feels that way.
Well, Joe Camp and Rod Browning, which kind of lends to me what you're talking about as far as maybe this wasn't always that. I mean,
right. If he hasn't he did written rewrites.
Yeah, he hasn't been credited for anything in a long time, but he was, you know, writing a lot of stuff in the 70s, including some. Yeah, Mary Hartman, which is one of the most bizarro things in the world to me. One of these days, Chris, we should, I mean, it's like 1,000 episodes, so we're not going to do a TV show, or we're not going to do a podcast on it. Yeah.
Did it really go that long?
Yeah, man. It was 900 episodes or some shit. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was 5 nights a week for a long time, yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I remember catching some of it when I was a kid.
It came up when we talked about The Prisoner. And yeah, it's 325 episodes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But that's, you're right.
I exaggerated. I tripled it. So,
I mean, 325 episodes is a lot. Like, that's
it is.
Isn't that 3 times more than Barney Miller? I think so. We're 2 times more than Barney Miller, and that's still pretty long. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a trippy show.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. There's nothing. Joe Camp and Rod Browning, like, I don't know, like maybe stick to writing movies that are more Benji centric, I guess, or like don't make them. I, The other Benji movies are less human-centric than this, right? I'm assuming they're more focused on the dog, right? Like, oh, yeah, the dog. Yeah. Okay, that, I don't know, like, yeah, Chevy Chase and, like, the dog are sidelined in their own movie. Yeah. Like, this is a Jane Seymour movie, frankly. Like, if you were to ask me who is the star of this movie, I would say it's Jane Seymour. Like, she needs to be the one on the poster. Chevy Chase and the dog need to be kind of smaller on the poster than her, even.
Had she been able to take this whole thing over, I would have been okay with that. Because, yeah, I think she does a great job.
Yeah, which is unfortunate that her performance is in this movie. Because, yeah, it's just everything else is just so clearly meant to be like a Chevy Chase and dog thing. And it's like, you do know that this is like the least interesting part of them. To the point where Chevy Chase claims, at least in his autobiography from the 90s, that he's never watched this movie. I mean, mind you, that was 91, 92 when his... I guess I understand why you've never watched this movie, but you also directly contributed to this movie not being good. Like, you contributed to the problematic quality of this movie. So it's always weird when I read something like that, and it's like, but you actively contributed to that being a problem. So I kind of get why you didn't watch it, but also, like, you are the reason this movie, you are part of the reason this movie was not successful.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me, though. Hearing that doesn't surprise me coming from him.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that likes to shoot himself in his own foot.
Yeah. Well, it's not like he came out when the movie was, you know, in theaters and said, don't go see this movie. It's a piece of shit, at least. But, right. Yeah.
No, he's doing press conferences with Benji at the time. Yeah. He honestly was.
I'm sure he loved that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He seemed miserable during that whole experience.
Second bill to a dog.
He's got the trainer in the back of the press conference who's given Benji cues so that it can be like, well, what do you think, Benji? And then the guy gives a cue and Benji barks right on command. It's like, okay, you know, and like, yeah, Benji was probably out acting Chevy Chase at this point.
What do you think about this mid-level talent, Chevy Chase, Benji? Ruff, ruff. Got him.
Ooh, I can't believe he said that ring to his face.
Well, he's sitting there in the same room.
Oh, my God. Snap.
Yeah. God, boy.
Do they make reference to this movie in Strays, by the way? I'm just thinking about that.
I wish they, I wish that this movie was half as funny as Strays is. And then it might have had some redeeming quality as a movie worth returning to. I don't even know how you would watch this movie in 2023. It's on YouTube in its entirety, but it is not, I don't think it's ever been released by anybody.
What?
It's
not on, there's not a Blu-ray?
There's no Blu-ray of this movie, I don't think. Not that I saw. So I could be wrong. There's the DVD, but it's like $30 on Amazon, and I am not paying $30 for this movie on.
Oh, I didn't realize this. This was released as a 3-pack multiple times, it looks like. Yes, with once with Far From Home and Rusty the Great Rescue, and another one with Because of the Wind, Dixie, and also Far From Home. So they seem to like to repackage this and release it on DVD.
Well, and it, you know, if you see it on Amazon, like the box art for the movie, it definitely smacks of this is a thing that you would find in the dollar bin at Walmart.
Oh, boy.
That they're, yes, trying to convince you is something that it's not, which is a movie that has Chevy Chase in it. it's like the DVD for Mazes and Monsters. It's like it has Tom Hanks on the box art, but he's in it for 5 minutes, if that. Like, and the box art for this movie on Amazon looks the same. It's like Chevy Chase and a dog looking at each other. It's like neither one of these things are used very well in this movie, but hey, you like dogs or Chevy Chase, you might accidentally be bought this by someone who loves you.
Yeah, I think this will be the first title on our new boutique label, guys.
There we go.
Weirding Way.
Oh my God, there it is. There, yeah, it is. Yep,
that's,
you're right,
where the media comes from. That's the physical media that we're releasing is...
Can you imagine that if we just start releasing movies that we don't like? We really didn't like this movie, but we'd like the opportunity to re-release it for you to see if other people like it more than us or dislike it just as much as we do.
I do want to say that the version of Benji at Work that's out on YouTube looks way better than Oh Heavenly Dog, and it's out there in its entirety, and it's such a time capsule of here's what 1980 looked like on television. Unfortunately, there's no commercials to it. I kind of would have liked that, but having Adam Rich actively narrating and participating in this, and then seeing that crazy trainer with that amazing mustache. I found a lot of entertainment in that. So
go watch that instead.
Okay, I'll go back and watch it now.
Yeah, you'll have a good time, even though it's Adam Rich. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I don't think if you watch this movie, you would walk away saying Benji movies were successful and popular and Chevy Chase movies were successful and popular, because neither of those things are very well represented here. But to your point, like, clearly there are Benji movies that people did like, because we got to this point three movies in that Benji and Chevy Chase are being paired together. And Chevy Chase was popular enough that we're just about at the top here of the things we're going to be talking about with Chevy Chase. So clearly there was a quality here that we just were not able to see translated into a movie written by these two people. But yeah, if I had watched this in 80, I would have been like, so why are either of these things in this movie? Like, why is Chevy Chase in this movie? Why is Benji in this movie? If I knew nothing about either, I would not think that they were the popular things going into the movie. Let's just put it that way.
It is remarkable to look back and be like, Chevy Chase was a thing. No, I'm just kidding.
wow.
Benji was a thing. Yeah. And just to be like, oh yeah, that was a really big thing for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, again, we don't have that now, but we do have just like a glut of dog and cat movies that come out every year that are just on streaming. So I don't know how many Air Bud movies there are at this point, but there are a lot, and almost all of them have been direct to video. So,
well, makes sense, man. I mean, Air Bud, I don't remember. I think there's one film from Montreal that finally took the title, but Air Bud was like the largest grossing Canadian movie for years and years.
I believe it. I mean, I believe it. Like, that movie was like a $3 million movie, and I think it made like $30 million. And then just like every fucking sequel that you can think of, with Air Buddies and Snow Buddies and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm still waiting. I've talked about it for years now. If I ever get the opportunity, I'm going to make a movie where a chimp plays golf, and it's just going to be called Chimp Shot, okay? I'm going to do it one of these days. Okay. You know,
that'll be on our boutique label.
Right. Yeah. Maybe get Matt LeBlanc to come back from when he played baseball with a chimpanzee and head.
There was also MVP, Most Valuable Primate.
Oh, well, that's what it is. Yeah, not Ed. Yeah. I guess
Ed was a thing.
Ed is? Okay. Okay. Yeah. God, MV Most Valuable Primate.
Oh, yeah. No, I watched a whole series of those for an article I wrote all about, like, chimps and films, and just during this like one little window of time, which was always like, what do we do? Like, when there are weird trends like that, like,
yeah,
you know, you guys have talked about body swap movies on the Culture Cast. I know that. And you know, I, like I said before, I love a good body swap movie, you know, and I watch all of those, like 18 Again, you know,
like father, like son,
like Vietnam style flashbacks.
What's the one with the,
they're in the fucking walls.
Right. Oh, Dream a Little Dream. Yeah, but there was a slightly different one where it was adults. It was because there was a Fred Savage and Judge,
yep. Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold. There was the Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore. And then of course there was the George Burns and the kid. But I felt like there's one other around there, and it's just like all of these movies coming out within like a 3-year period was really bizarre. And I'm just like, why that?
What was the pop culture zeitgeist?
Yeah. What was driving that? Was it just like going back and changing things from your past? I mean, were we living in a period of regret?
Yeah.
Or I think was the
springboard for all those,
yeah,
I believe.
And what was, no, those came before Big. I'm okay. Sure. Yeah.
And that's not really body swap. Those. So
no, it was kind of like, well, even Bruce Willis did one that I think it was just called The Kid, but I think that was a little bit later.
Oh,
it was like a Freaky Friday thing. The generations didn't understand each other, so they had to take each other's places.
There was a movie just recently where like a chick wakes up as her older self, as Diane Keaton.
And she there's also up, that 13 going on 30.
Going on 30, yeah.
Yeah.
Rest.
Freaky Friday. I mean,
wasn't 13 Going on 30 Matthew Perry movie? Or no, what's the Matthew Perry movie? Because he was in one with Zac Efron. where he like de-ages and becomes Zac Efron. these are
17 again.
Isn't Oh Heavenly Dog a body swap movie? Technically,
it basically is. Yeah,
God, mm-hmm. Yeah. This might be the worst one, Begley, that I've seen in terms of the things that we've like watched together and or have seen.
I don't know why I watched all of those.
I don't know either.
Back when I was gung ho about doing all the background stuff, and
you were conditioned well by the projection booth, is what it is.
I think there was a Ryan Reynolds.
I am too old for this.
Ryan Reynolds swaps with
Bateman.
Jason Bateman. Yeah.
Yeah. The Swap. Isn't that movie just called The Swap?
I think, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Freaky Friday. Was that? Then there was the one with Vince Vaughn.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. That was fun.
That was a good one. These movies come out like, yeah, it's weird. They come out like once every couple of years, but rarely is it just like, boom, we get a lot. The late 80s were really that time for like, hey, there's a lot of really big personalities, let's pair them together.
It was called The Change Up. That's the one I was thinking of.
Change Up
is that's the one with Bateman and Ryan Reynolds,
where they're peeing in the fountain.
Swap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sword as opposed, yes, as opposed to poor Judge Reinhold and his kid with that crazy statue.
Oh my
that
god! Fighting
over. Yes. If you could only be me for one day. Yeah.
I like Dudley. Was it Dudley Moore?
Dudley Moore.
Cameron.
God, Dudley Moore and Kirk. Who thought that was a? Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron. What a pairing! What a pairing! If they could only know the future of those two people.
Oh boy.
God. Yeah.
Is that the one with Sean Astin?
It is.
Yeah, I think I watch most of them with my daughter. I'm like, they're Samwise. It's the only thing I can enjoy out of this movie. Is there Samwise?
Yeah, this movie I think is part of that conversation, but I think we've clearly established that it is not. I wouldn't even say it's a lesser. It's just, what is even the point? Like, I don't know. I wish this could have been. We're still waiting for one of those movies that we find where it's like, oh, everybody was wrong about this movie. Nope.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping when I read the reviews. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is a stinker, apparently.
I mean, I will go to my grave still enjoying this movie, but that's fine. I'm glad that you guys weren't just like, you're wrong for liking this. So that's cool.
I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. We have a lot of movies. Murder by Death is one of them that a lot of people can take to task.
That's wonderful. I love that movie.
I know, but you know.
Fake pinkies.
Fucking hot takes, man. There was I believe someone that we may be mutual friends with on Facebook had a hot take that Murder by Death is better than Clue, so I don't think you're alone in liking Murder by Death.
I 100% agree with that statement. So
I've seen Murder by Death probably dozens of times. I've seen Clue once, but I enjoyed it when I saw it, but I didn't fall into that Clue camp of it's the best movie ever.
I don't not see why you enjoy this movie, Mike. And if I had seen this movie at the right time, I probably would have. I mean, I don't think it's purely nostalgia driven, given that we're watching it now and having a conversation about it now. But I get it. Like, I can understand, because when I was watching it with my wife, she was like, oh, I've seen parts of this before. And she had seen parts of it because she grew up in like a very dog centric household, and like her mom and her would go to like dog shows together because they would show dogs. And so her mom would just put on movies with dogs for her, apparently. Mm. And she was like, oh, you'll like this movie. It has a dog in it. And my wife said she was bored by the first 30 minutes, which I understand given, you know, again, the dog doesn't show up for 30 minutes. So, you know, I get it. But yeah, I think, and this is the other thing we really haven't mentioned, I think, to round us out, did this movie have to be an hour and 45 minutes? that for me might be the biggest affront, is that what couldn't you get said in like an hour 25? Because that's really all you needed. You didn't need an additional 30 minutes here. If you're not going to give us more, if it had been an hour and 45 minutes and there had been a solid half an hour of Chevy Chase and Jane Seymour, cool. Why not make them a married couple? And then it makes sense that the dog can come back. She'd be like, oh, you've answered my prayers. And blah, blah. Right. And then she dies at the end. And then it makes sense because he's dead. Just 2 minutes of Chevy Chase and Jane Seymour. What?
You're right. It would have made sense, too, as far as having him be in England. like, oh, I came over here for you, my love, because you're working for this magazine over here, and this is great, and I'm starting my, I can do my private investigations wherever.
Right. People are always going to need a dick.
Yeah.
I just wrote a better joke than this whole fucking movie.
The gallery scene was like, I'm like, oh, can we,
yeah,
get, you know, that yeah. was a good 15 that was minutes.
A little painful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could have been gone.
It's just shocking. It's shocking to me how long this movie is. Cause like, it's ultimately like we mentioned all the way at the top, like, is it a kid's movie? Is it a comedy? It's kind of weirdly all of these things. And I don't know about y'all, but we all know that especially younger kids have the ability to pay attention to a 2 hour long movie, right? Just kidding. That's not an easy, it's not an easy ask. I'm not trying to be, you know, derogatory towards kids. It's just, I don't think any kid is going to sit through an hour and 40 long kids. Benji movie. Yeah. Like, there's a reason those other Benji movies probably open with Benji immediately running around and doing Benji things and close with Benji doing Benji things. Like, it's, there's not Chevy Chase and Elton John. Like, this just happens to be a Benji movie, but boy.
Sir Elton John.
If it had been a Benji movie, I think everybody who went to see it for Benji would have been a lot more satisfied than they probably were with this. All the fans of Benji who were disappointed by this movie at the time.
I'm sure the message boards were
lighting
just
up.
Totally lighting up, yes.
This is not my Benji.
On the line now, we've got Mike from Detroit. Tell us your thoughts on Benji. I don't like this movie because there's not enough Benji.
If I buy a ticket for a Benji movie, I want to see Benji right off the bat. Where's the Charlie Rich song? I like that music.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. On to our next caller. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not sure that this was the right movie to start this podcast off with, but I think it sets the tone for where we will probably end up with Chevy Chase, is
it's going to be up and down, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got two ups coming up, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. So on the next episode of the Chasing Chevy podcast, we're talking about one of the movies, I guess. Yeah, he's probably, I don't know if he's known for, but it's definitely a movie where, his involvement is much appreciated and he ends up stealing the show. We're talking about yet another movie from 1980. You may have heard of it. It's called Caddyshack. Can you imagine we're doing an episode on Caddyshack? I'm excited. Wild.
Does this mean I finally get to watch a sequel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. It's in there. It's in this time period that we're
15 episodes from now.
Yeah. Excellent. I can't wait.
So, Chris, just so people kind of get where we're coming from here, you mentioned like star vehicles, but there's sort of a cutoff point here. So we're going, according to your list, we started with this and the last movie is what?
Vegas Vacation.
Okay.
I thought it was Cops and Robertsons. All right. Where's Vegas Oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And there's some we might get to.
97. Okay.
And there are some other movies past that are possible bonuses, given that they're just they kind of have some possible relevancy, but they're kind of like throwbacks to certain things that we'll talk about while we're doing this. Because like Mark mentioned, we're going to have some pretty high ups. We're covering all the big stuff, which I don't think for us is any surprise, but I think for at least the three of us, like, we tend to not watch everything that is super duper popular because everybody else has already had these conversations about it. But to Mark's point, yeah, we're going to start in 80 with Oh Heavenly Dog. We'll end in 97 with Vegas Vacation and everything in between for the most part, as long as Chevy Chase is the lead or is
top billed,
we're going to be covering those movies. So use your research brain to figure out what those are, because I'm not going to mention 20 movies right now.
Oh, boy. And so that means in 3 months, we get to talk about Under the Rainbow.
I know. Yeah. A movie I've still never seen.
Me either. So. I'm kind of, and it's one of the ones I'm excited about, actually.
Oh, I grew up on that movie, too. So,
oh, boy.
Chevy Chase was in your life very early on, Mike.
Early and often, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised. I go through the list, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I actually saw that one in the theater. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that one. This one I've seen a bunch. You know, it's all over the place with him.
Yeah, and again,
quite a few in the theater.
It's one of those things where like, these are some really big movies that have a lot of lasting power, especially like Vegas Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack.
Mm-hmm. I consider that one of his most popular films.
Caddyshack?
Everybody I know loves Caddyshack. So
yeah.
Seriously.
Like, yeah.
If you bring up comedies, it's like Caddyshack.
Yeah.
It's my age group for one thing, but it's, you know, mm-hmm. I had a couple stumbles maybe before, but then after Caddyshack, it's like, oh, this guy's gonna go somewhere.
He had a couple stumbles. He had some stumbles. This
and maybe the Tunnel Vision and Groove Tube or whatever. But
yeah,
because Foul Play is solid. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
So speaking of Foul Play, Begley, where can people find that discussion that we did and the things that you work on?
You can find that at wakeupheavy.com or weirdingwaymedia.com, amongst many other shows. And you can find me at Wake Up Heavy on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Letterboxd, if you want to see what I'm watching, Linktree, etc.
What about you, Benji fan number one, Mike White?
I was just handed this brief that says that everything I do is available at weirdingwaymedia.com. I am proud to be a member of this illustrious distribution and media group. Thank you. You will find your wife and daughter at exit 33. Okay. All right.
You weren't supposed to read that part.
Yeah. Sorry.
You know what I said would happen if you read that second part on the air.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness.
God damn. And what about you, Chris?
Well, when I'm not apparently holding Mike's family hostage, you can find me and my associated works over at FBI.gov. No, you can find them at weirdingwaymedia.com, where I do a weekly movie podcast called The Culture Cast and a whole raft of other monthly and biweekly things. But, you know, there's other people's voices at Weirding Way Media, too, like Susan Lambert Haddam, who does 80s TV Ladies.
It's Emily Entrabia and Christine Makepeace, who do The Feminine Critique.
And Sierra Zorn and Alicia Watson, who do Twisted and Uncorked. So, yeah, three other podcasts that have, you know, more to say about more things than we do about Chevy Chase movies, clearly, because this episode is now over. If you want to hear more of us, weirdingwaymedia.com is where you can find those shows and this show. And yeah, we'll be coming back to you every month to bring more Chevy Chase-centric content here on the Chasing Chevy podcast. We're fans of Chevy Chase, and you're not.